We are going to start right at 9 o'clock each Sunday. I do not have very much of a margin. So if you are, which you guys aren't, so this isn't for you, just doing this for the recording for those who will listen to it later. If you're in the habit of coming 5 minutes late, you're going to miss 5 minutes of class and we're not going to restart it for you. First off, is does everyone have their own book?
Yes.
Okay. That's really important. So let me go ahead before we get any further. Let me stop and let me pray, and we'll ask the Lord's blessing on our time together. Lord, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your loving kindness, Lord God. And as we approach the throne of grace, we recognize your holiness. We recognize your authority, your sovereignty over all things. Lord, you are the King of the universe, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we come humbly, but Lord, at the same time, we come with boldness, asking for your help, seeking your will for our lives, and knocking on the door, Lord God, that we might know your love and know you more through this class and through our time together. And so we pray your blessing be upon this time and upon the class and on those who come to it. May your grace and mercy be expounded all the more in our hearts and minds that we might see Christ and love him more. We pray this for your glory and for our good in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, come on in. For those of you coming in, do you ladies have books? Do you have your own books? Okay, perfect. Okay, so the purpose of this class is to take us through the fundamentals of our faith. And so when you look at the contents of your book, if you want to open that, go ahead and look at the table of contents. Bob, you need a book?
Need a shoe.
Okay, I gave Chase one.
You need another one?
Okay, very good.
Here.
All right, you're welcome. You'll see that as we go through the different lessons, the first lesson is going to be an introduction to the Bible, and then how to know your Bible. These classes, according to the teacher's manual, should be about an hour and a half. We are not going to do that. We're going to do an hour from 9 to 10, and then we're going to break. One is that it is Sundays are already a big vocal day for me. And so an hour and a half, I don't want you guys to have to get out of bed at like super early to get here. And we just want to make sure that y'all make it. So 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock will be our time. But we're not going to rush through the material just for the sake of doing it. So if this study takes us more than 13 weeks, we're going to take more than 13 weeks. Okay. So just think of it as the hour and a half. We'll do an hour, and then that half hour will bleed into the next lesson, and then the next, and the next, and the next as we go through. You need a book, Leanna, for you and Jay. There you go. See you there. Okay. So we're going to look at the introduction to the Bible. We're going to see how the Bible was brought together for our benefit, for our good. We're going to get to know how to know the Bible. We're going to look at the different books in the Bible, and then looking at God's character, and then specifically the person of Christ, the work of Christ, what he did, what salvation is according to the scriptures. We're going to look at what the person in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, his function within the church, and what he's to do in the lives and the believers. We're going to look at that. We're going to look at prayer, prayer in the believer. We'll look more in depth in that. I'm preaching a four-part series on the importance of prayer. So, of course, that will be an easy lesson because you'll all remember everything I said from before. We're going to look at the church and what it means to fellowship and worship together, and why it is that God has called us to worship and fellowship together as believers and not just in solitude on our own. We are going to look at spiritual gifts, what that means, how we are to implement those and use those into the ministry of the church and for the betterment of the saints. We'll look at what the scriptures say about evangelism and how we as believers are to go into the world and make disciples, what that looks like, how we can do that. Some different strategies in that regard. What the part that obedience plays in the work of salvation in our lives. And then finally, the last lesson will be on God's will and how we can follow that. Oh, I'm going to give you three one here, Sister Shula. So, all right. So, like I said, I'm going to record this, but this is an interactive class, very much so. And so, part of what you're going to do away from here is there are 13 messages that John MacArthur has preached on, and you're going to go on his website and you're going to listen to those messages, and you can take notes, you can write down questions, but they're on his website. I think it's in the book where you're supposed to find those. But you go to gty or gracetoyou.org and backslash FOF. Okay.
Where is it? It's on lesson that page of lesson what the introduction
The
to the Bible.
introduction. Thank you,
Page
John.
3, lesson one. It's on
Thank
the
you, John.
left hand.
Yeah, it says right down there, prepare for each session by downloading the assignment message from www.gty.org/FOF, meaning Fundamentals of the Faith. And these are 13 sermons. They vary in length. They're about, I'd say the average length is about an hour. Okay. And you don't have to listen to it all in one setting. I do recommend that you try to do that because of the flow of the context and what he's preaching on. But it'll be something that you'll go ahead and do when you're in the middle of the week. My family, they're just finding out about this now. We're going to do it on Wednesdays. We're going to listen to the message together and take notes, ask questions, and bring those questions back to class. Whoever's speaking there does that. And then what we'll do is we're going to fill in some of the blanks, but some of these you'll be doing that at home. So if you look at the first lesson and it talks about the history and the introduction of the Bible, and then it tells you to write down the names of the Bible, those kinds of things you can do on your own. That's okay. I know some of you got this book early and started working ahead. That's fine. It will be a while for us to catch up with you, but we're going to go through and we're going to look at and kind of give a synopsis of each book of the Bible in the Old Testament, starting in the Old Testament, and then going in through the New. And I think what John, Grace to You has tried to do is in these lessons, take theological classes that you take at seminary and boil them down into in a couple of hours, which is a big thing. I'm not looking for or expecting you to dive. You can go as deep as you want. You can go as shallow as you want. This is, again, it's designed to give us a working understanding of our faith. I've been seeing different podcasters giving little snippets and doing some different research and everything. And one of the big things that's coming out right now is that many people, when they fall away from the faith, they fall away not because of lack of knowledge, but the underlying of why that knowledge is important. And so that's what this class seeks to do, is give you a foundation, and that's why sometimes I call it foundations of the faith, and I mixed those words up, but to give you a foundation of, okay, here's the Bible. Why should we believe the Bible? There are other sacred writings out there. Why shouldn't we give them as much weight as we give to the Bible? What makes the Bible different? What makes the Bible over them? And this gives us the reasons why. What makes the character of our God different than the character of the other gods that are out there? What makes Christ and his work different and his teachings different than those of other teachers who came along preaching peace and getting along with one another? And so what this will do is hopefully, my hope is that it will give you, here's what we believe, but also why we believe, and then how we work this out. Because again, getting in the head, knowing the what and knowing the why are one thing, but then the living that out and how and making disciples. I had a really interesting conversation with Emily yesterday. We were in the van. We were talking about the leper who was at the pool of Bethsaida. And Jesus comes up to him and asks him a question. Do you want to be healed? And I was listening to, I saw a reel on Instagram. Every once in a while, something comes out. And there's this comedian, not a clean comedian, so don't go look him up or anything like that. But his name is Theo Vaughn. And he was in this interview. And part of that interview was he's like, I've been reading the Bible lately. I don't know why. It's not something I've ever done before, but I've suddenly just had this real interest in reading the Bible. And he was talking about how he was read that story and how Jesus said, do you want to be healed? And he's like, I had to think about that in my own person. And I'd never really heard it from this perspective before of here's this guy, he's been 40 years paralyzed. His identity is that he is a paralyzed man at this pool, waiting and hoping that someone would put him in the water. And then here comes this guy named Jesus, and he asks him, do you want to be healed? And so much is interesting because he's saying so much of our identity sometimes is wrapped up in who we are in the flesh, that when Jesus comes along and he says, do you want to be healed? Do you want freedom? Do you want to be identified with me? We have to stop and think, is that something we really want? And that's not something that is outside of the Bible. Jesus even said, count the cost. No one builds a tower without first counting the cost. No one thinks that they're going to go out and defeat an army until they've counted their men and counted the other guy's men. So that's totally scriptural. And I thought about that. And then where our conversation with between Emily and I went beyond that. And it was like, okay, here's this guy. He's had nobody to put him in the water for 40 years. Jesus comes along, heals him. And his excuse for not being healed was what? I don't have anyone to take me and put me in the water when the water's stirred. And Jesus says, okay, take your mat, go, don't sin anymore. But then you would think, and where our conversation went and what Emily brought out was, don't you think that that guy would be one of the main guys that would stick around and help people get in the water? But you don't hear about them. And it's like, wow, that was convicting. Because how many of us who have had an encounter with Christ stick around to help people find the water or get in the water or get into Christ? And so part of our study here is going to be learning, here's what we believe. Here's why we believe it, and here's how we implement that in not just knowledge, but then also telling people about who Christ is, because that's the goal. Who needs a book that just came in? All right. So he's meeting one of Sarah and Andrew there. All right. Okay. So again, another thing that we're going to be doing is we will be having discussions. So if you have questions, write them down. As you have the question, write them down. If you don't write it down, I love you, but you will forget it. And you'll be like, Pastor Rich, I had this question and I forgot it. So use this book as you're watching the sermons or listening to them, because they both are I believe they're both in audio and video format. Write your question in the margin. If you need a separate notebook to take notes on the messages, do that. Yes. Oh, yes. Bring a pen to class. Bring pencils. I don't have any of that right now. So, yes.
Are
Great.
you filling out the blanks from his lecture or what?
No, these will be done separately. Okay. So he's going to be preaching on different things. So, like, if you turn to lesson one in the introduction to the Bible, you'll see that it says, okay, the Old Testament has 39 books. They call it the Pentateuch, the first five books, and you're just going to write them down. And you think, well, I know the books of the Bible. Then write. And so you're going to go Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those are the first five books of the Bible. They're called the Pentateuch. And so it's the giving of the law. These are what we would call the books of, or the books of Moses. So when you go to the New Testament, and the scripture talks about, did not Moses say, these are the five books that it's referring to. That's these five books. And then the law and the prophets, that's going to be all the other books. He explained to them how the Christ must suffer and then how he must rise again. Okay. So you'll learn about that. Then you go to the next page and it says, okay, here are the books of history. There are 12 of them and you can write them down. So then you go from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy is the last of the five. And then you start with Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Those are all books of history. Okay. And you can take notes on what you think about each one of those books and how to go through them. Then you have the books of poetry. Okay, and they're aligned in a particular order so that you can remember them. The first book is Job. He's the first book, and then you have Psalms, you have Proverbs, you have Ecclesiastes, and then the Song of Songs or the Song of Solomon. And so those are the five books of poetry. Write them down. Okay, then you're going to go to the major prophets. And the reason why they're called major prophets is because of the length of how much they wrote. Okay. So you have the first the big five, or you can call them actually the big the big five. They are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and then you have Daniel. Okay, and they're called major because they write a lot. Okay, and we'll talk about more of this as you've listened to the message and we get into the lesson. Then you'll do this again. You're going to do this all on your own in your own study time. Make this your Bible study. You can go through, and you don't have to do it all in one sitting. You can do one section a day. Then you have the 12 books of the minor prophets. Those of you who went through my Bible study when we went through the minor prophets, you know all about these guys. If this is the first time you're hearing about some of these minor prophets, that's okay. I encourage you to read them. It would be very embarrassing to get to heaven and a guy named Obadiah comes up and says, "Hey, what'd you think about my letter? Or what'd you think about the book I wrote?" And you're like, "Sorry, didn't get to that section." So do yourself a favor before you get to heaven. Read Obadiah. But you have the 12 books, and they're also called in the Jewish tradition, it's called the 12. So don't get it confused with the 12 disciples. That's the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they called it the 12. And then you've got Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Okay? Or Malachi, the Italian prophet. And you can see where they all prophesy. They also prophesy about the coming of Christ and what he will do. And you'll learn some things about him. Then you get into the New Testament, where you have the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels, meaning similar. They have the same view. They're looking in the same similar perspective. And you'll be introduced to the one that we know of, and only Gentile author in the New Testament. Everyone else is Jew. You got one Gentile. His name is Luke. Now, where I disagree with MacArthur is that John calls him a Greek. That is probably a simple or an easy term that covers a plethora of things. And John and I can disagree with that. He knows better now. He's in heaven. He knows all that stuff. But I think, and this is my own personal opinion, is that Luke was a Samaritan convert to Christ. And the reason for that is Luke writes about the Samaritan ministry of Jesus more than any other New Testament author. And we learn about the 10 lepers that were healed by Jesus, and only one came back, and he was a what? A Samaritan. Jesus, and that Luke wrote about that. And Luke writes about the Samaritan ministry more than Matthew or Mark do. And he definitely writes about it more than John. But each one of these authors have a different reason for writing. Matthew's reason for writing was to communicate the gospel and what Christ did from a Jewish perspective. That's why Matthew uses more Old Testament quotes than any other gospel writer. Okay? He just quotes from this was to fulfill this scripture. If to fulfill this scripture, why? Because he's writing to a Jewish audience. It makes sense that he would do that. Okay? Then Mark comes and he writes his gospel, and he writes it because what I think, and I'm not alone in this, is that the tradition tells us and the teaching tells us Peter was in Rome and he was teaching in the church in Rome and he's getting ready to leave. And before he left, the saints in Rome said, Peter, write down your version of the gospel. And so Peter grabs John Mark, who is Barnabas's cousin. Barnabas, the guy that went with Paul on his first missionary journey. You see how they're all connected there. John Mark is there, and so he says, John Mark, write this down. And he starts telling his version of the gospel. And Peter just wants to get it done. He's going fast, so it's very short. And he uses the word immediately a lot. He goes, immediately we went here, and then we were done there. Immediately we went here, and we did this, and then immediately we went to this other place. And he's marching through it because he's writing for a Roman audience who wants to know, what did Jesus do? Get us through. And so then you have John Mark writing down the gospel according to Peter, written by John Mark. And then you have John, the Gospel of John, written for a totally different reason. And John doesn't tell you what his reason is until the very end of his book, when he says, these things have been written so that you might believe in the name of Jesus Christ and in him find salvation. And so that's his message. And so he starts from the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. And all things that were created by him and through him. And nothing that wasn't created has been created by him. And in him was the light. And he just goes through from the very beginning, and the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. They don't want anything to do with the light because the light exposes their evil. And then there was this guy named John, and John came, and he wasn't the light, but he came to tell us about the light. And then Jesus comes and he takes off, and he gives eight miracles that Christ does throughout his gospel to show his power and his sovereignty and his deity. And so John writes to show you that God became flesh, and that is his gospel. Then you have the book of Acts, which is the only historical book in the, or excuse me, it's part of the four gospels or history. But then you have Acts, also written by Luke. So you have Luke and you have Acts, they're companion letters. So if you want to read them in kind of a contextual flow, read the Gospel of Luke and then jump over John and read the Acts of the Apostle. And Luke is there. Then you're going to go through the letters, the epistles. Now, these are all arranged by length. Okay, so you have the first 13 that are written by Paul. They're arranged by length. How can we arrange Paul's letters? Do we do it based on importance? Nope, we're going to do it based on length. And so then you have Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, you have Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, you have 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, and then Paul's shortest letter, Philemon. Then you go from those books to what they call the general letters, and you have Hebrews. We do not know who wrote Hebrews. Okay? Many people will try to tell you it was Paul. Some people will try to tell you it was Apollos. The reality is, we do not know. Does not name himself. What we do know about the person who wrote it is that he was most likely, or I'm going to venture out here, she was most likely a person who was a convert that came after. And the reason why I say she is because there are some who think that possibly Phoebe, who's mentioned as a deaconess, wrote that letter in her teaching and was her teaching to Apollos, who was someone who came preaching the gospel as well. Now, so we have those general letters, Hebrews, James, the brother of Jesus, 1st, 2nd, Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and then the only prophetic book in the New Testament, which is the book of Revelation. And we learn about heaven through the book of Revelation. Okay. So that's what you're going to do on your own. You're just going to fill those in. Yes.
Number two, you were talking about the history of the early church, and you recommended that we read the two books. It was Luke and what?
Luke and Acts. So Luke, the Gospel of Luke was written by Luke, and Acts was written by Luke. Okay. And so those two documents, for lack of a better word, are companion. They go together. Okay. And you'll see that Luke starts off in his gospel with, in order to give you an accurate account of what took place, dear Theophilus, I believe is what he uses. I went and I gathered information and I interviewed people about Christ in his earthly ministry, and I put down an orderly account of that. And then he continues that in the book of Acts and saying, okay, and here's what the apostles did after that. And so he writes that down to give us an account of that. The first half of the book of Acts establishes the I want to use this word very, very lightly. The first half of the book of Acts establishes Peter in as the authority, I guess. He establishes Peter's authority heavily, talks a lot about Peter. He mentions the first martyr, but his main thing is he's establishing Peter's authority as an apostle. That the last half of the book of Acts is generally thought to be establishing Paul's authority as an apostle. So the first part you have Peter, and then the second half you have Paul, and they're both do the same miracles. And that's why some scholars believe that in Luke's writing, he's establishing that Paul, who is an untimely born apostle, he wasn't one of the 12. He wasn't even one of the 150 that followed. He was someone who came later, but he establishes Paul as being just as authentic. That's the word I was looking for. The authenticity of Paul's apostleship is the same authenticity as Peter's apostleship. And so he puts them on equal ground. And the reason for that is Peter is thought to be the apostle to the Jews, to the Hebrews, and then Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. And they have what? Equal standing. So much so that in the book of Galatians, we see Paul rebuking Peter because he's not doing what he should be doing. And so you have that authority established. And then you have just other general information. You'll fill that in. Some of these things you'll be listening to. The lesson, the message that he's preaching on different things. And the other thing that I like that we have in here is that we have a memory verse. Okay? Memorize this verse. And here's the challenge that I want to give to you all. I am not going to test you on this. Okay? I want you to test each other. That way, I'm not the bad guy. I'm always asking, did you memorize your verse? Okay. And in doing that, you can also test me. Okay. Fair game. We're going to test each other. Okay. So if you come and you ask me, do you know your memory verse? And I tell you the memory verse, you better believe it. I'm going to ask you, do you know it? Because turnabout's fair play, but I'm not going to initiate that. Okay. But I want you to initiate it with each other. Okay. And I understand that not everybody's brain works the same and that it will take much more effort for some of you. That was cool. I just saw a deer go by. To memorize those verses. But one of the key factors that they have found in keeping a young person or a child in the church and in their adult life more than anything else is scripture memorization. Okay. The number one thing that they have found that keeps kids in church is scripture memorization. And then the other thing that follows that is knowing why we believe what we believe. So that's why we're going to do this together. And I encourage young people to be in here. It's because we're going to learn the what, we're going to learn the why, and then we're going to learn the how to put it into practice. Okay. So you'll go through lesson one, the introduction to the Bible. And then, yes.
Is it better to listen to his message first and then go through the study or the what?
Sometimes, but not always. So for instance, to fill out the first part with all the you don't need to listen to that. But when you get to the question or into, let's say, section number four, why is the Bible important? And there's a question, what does 2 Timothy 3:16 say about the Bible? Choose the correct answer. It will be helpful. Okay. Not necessary, but helpful. There are other places in there. For example, section Roman numeral 5, where it says application. Based on what you've learned about the Bible, what should your response be? Like, what? How should we respond to the scriptures? That will be helpful to listen to the message. That will be helpful to listen to that. There's a really cool chart that he gives you in that. You get to see the Bible at a glance. And he shows you, okay, everything written points to the cross. And then we have the Gospels that tell us about the cross. And then everything after it points back to the cross. So that the cross and Christ are the central figures of the Old and the New Testament. Yeah, and that's how we'll go through. Okay. Any questions? Yes, Cleo. Okay, so at the very beginning of the lesson, it should say, memorize 2 Timothy 3:16. Okay? And that is the only verse for the entirety of lesson one. You don't get another one until we're done with lesson one. And lesson one has two sections. Okay? So there's the section on what's in the Bible. Okay? And then there's the next section, which is... How the different parts of the Bible and why certain books were included and some books are not included. The message that John speaks about, that will be very helpful to listen to those. But in the first, the very first lesson, it's not necessary. Yes, Gregory.
Would it be best to always have these lessons done before we listen to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because we're going to go over them together. It's not necessary, but it will be helpful. Okay. I thought I saw another hand. Was it Bob?
Yeah. Why is it that we don't have a separate category for wisdom books?
For the books of wisdom? They're included in the books of poetry. And that's just because of the way that they're written. Is they're written in a poetic kind of formulae. And if you look at some of the Proverbs, like that would be considered wisdom literature, but it's written in a Hebraic or an ancient Hebrew poetic form where it tells you, and then it gives you some instruction, and then it tells you again. And that's why they just kind of lump them in with the books of poetry. I don't know why they didn't separate that out. We just followed along with what the Hebrew tradition was in that regard. So, if you look at lesson one, the second part of it, he does talk about the Apocrypha, why we don't include that. If you have questions about, I know that there are some other books, if you listen to the History Channel, there's other books that were banned from the Bible. They weren't really banned. They were never considered scripture by the ancient church. Most of them were written after the fact. So you have the Gospel of Thomas. You have the Gospel, I think there's one out there, of the Gospel of Mary Magdalene. These were written much, much later in history and contain information that we don't find in any other scripture. And because of that, then the church fathers didn't even recognize it as scripture. All these other books they recognized as scripture and as being inspired by God. The book of Enoch, I know that there's a big deal about the book of Enoch. It was not written by the Enoch that was in the Bible. And not even the Hebrew scholars believe that it was written by Enoch. There's the Book of Jubilees. And it is not the same in the, it was written in Hebrew. Some people call it the second book of Moses. Wasn't written by Moses. But it is very interesting, some of the information in there. But even our Jewish people don't hold it in the same weight as they do the Torah and the Old Testament. And so neither do we. There's the book of Maccabees, the books of Maccabees and the Apocrypha. He talks about that, why we don't believe that those are inspired, and so why we don't include them in the scriptures. And so he does a lot of that in the message. So you can listen to that. That's why I said, listen. And if you have questions, ask questions. John MacArthur, as godly and as accurate as he is in his teaching, he is a fallible man. He is not scripture. And so if there's something that you don't agree with, write it down. Bring it to class. Let's talk about it. There are some things where, you know, he has done a great job, but his obvious bent and where the time and age that he grew up in is he wanted to delineate Christianity from Catholicism and from other New Age things. And so sometimes he sees things in the passage about Catholicism and New Age things that I don't think are there. Not to say that he's a false teacher. He just sees things differently. And so we're going to look at, when you're listening to him, just keep that in mind. He is fallible. He is a man. And he'll even say that himself every once in a while. So you can be listening for that. We're going to do a quick New Testament survey and go through there. It does have some helpful things. I use John's website quite a bit. It's very helpful. He has, in his extensive years of ministry and his time being able to write, he has introductions to each of the New Testament books and even the Old Testament books, which are free. So you just go to his website and type in introduction to, and then fill in whatever book you want. And he has some really good information about who wrote the book, when it was written, the purpose for its writing, a general outline for it, and different things like that. So it's a very good benefit when you're doing Bible study. Let's see, what else? We have some time here. Yes.
Are we doing the first section starting next week?
Yeah, that's where we're going to hit. We're going to hit the ground nut. This is just an introduction to the fundamentals of the faith, how we're going to proceed through this, and what we're going to do.
This week we go through it, through everything.
And then when we come back next Sunday, we're gonna hit the ground running, okay? And I'll have some questions. Hopefully you'll have some questions. We'll answer them together. I'll ask you some questions out of the material so that we can see what each other's written, and we can kind of hone our definitions of things. And one of the big definitions is, you can be thinking about, is what does it mean that the scriptures are inspired of God? And he talks about that in his message. It's something that you can think about as you're going through and looking at the different things. Yes, beautiful lady in the back.
They need to have us done by the time we come back next week. You don't fill out anything here.
You can. That is, I would prefer that. Yes, let's have it filled out, and then we're going to discuss it. Okay. So you'll read the portions of scriptures that are mentioned in the fundamentals. You'll listen to the message. And so this is an interactive and in-depth class. And again, you can take it as deep as you want. If you don't want to do any homework and you just want to come and listen, you cannot do any homework and you can just come and listen. I'm sure that you'll gain knowledge and information and for that. But if you're wanting to really dive into it, you can dive in real deep. And if you'd like to go deeper than even this, I have some books I can give you that you can read that will take you further into bibliology and the connections of scripture and what it entails. So, but I would recommend to just, especially the first section, is not that difficult. Most of it is just filling in the names of the books of the Bible, mostly. Okay, good questions. Any other questions? Okay, so as you can see, there's supposed to be, if everybody comes, about 45 people in the class. Not everybody's here, obviously. What's that? And I'm recording. So if you do happen to miss a class and you'd like to hear it, now this is recording from my laptop with my laptop's microphone and audio. So it does not do the best of picking up all the questions. So if you're watching the recording and you didn't catch the question, I apologize in advance. I will try to remember to repeat the question that was asked for the sake of the recording. But if I don't, that's just an encouragement to be here as much as you can.
Could we just go on our website and pull you up to listen to it? Or
I'm going to have to figure out how to do that with Amanda, because I'm recording it on Zoom. And so there might be a link that she can put on our webpage to get you to there. But I can also, if you want it, you can email me. So I have your email address, and you've asked me for it because I don't want to just mail it out blanketly. But I can email you out a link to go to it. And then there's just a digit code that you have to put in. And then you can watch it online. Okay. Good question. Any other questions? Okay. Since we don't have any other questions, let's go ahead. And if anyone needs a pen, anyone have a pen? Need a pen? No? No pen, Bob? You have one? Everyone has a pen? Okay, well, let's look at these. Let's go ahead and fill in these first few blanks just so that you get a jump start on your homework then. Okay? In the scriptures, we have the beginnings of that. And so starting on the first page of yours, I'm not sure what it is. For you guys, I don't have the same page numbers as you, so I can't refer to it in that way. But it's on page 7. Okay. You'll see in the shaded area there, the Bible is the word of God. It claims to be the truth, the message from God to man. 2 Peter 1, verse 21 says that men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And so the scriptures were written by approximately 40 different men. Just think about that. 40 different authors. Okay. And then over the span of about over 1,000 years, from 1400 BC all the way through 90 AD. So almost 1500 years, 40 different men on different continents, and in 3 different languages, all managed to write a book that points to one person and going through different times and different eras. Okay, so you have the first 5 books of the Bible, that of the Old Testament, were written by Moses around 1400 BC. They're often referred to as the 5 books of Moses or the Pentateuch. And so let's go ahead. If you have your Bible and you want to look at the table of contents, you can do that. But let's go ahead and fill those names in. We have Genesis, the book of beginnings, creation, man, sin, redemption, God's nation. And I would also put in conjunction with that, God's covenant. Yeah. Abrahamic covenant is in the book of Genesis. Very important covenant. Okay. That's all in Genesis. Then you have the second book of the Bible, which is Exodus. Very good. God delivers his people from Egypt. And I would add to that, shows his faithfulness to keeping his covenant. So Genesis, you have the establishing of the covenant. In Exodus, you have the keeping of that covenant. Okay, so Exodus. Number three. You have Leviticus. Talks about atonement, holiness, and worship through sacrifice and purification. Okay, you have the Levitical law. Here's what the priests do. Here's what you do. If you sin, here's what you need to bring. And it's all about purifying, purification. If you touch a dead body, how you're supposed to go from being unclean to clean. Ladies, when you have your cycle, when you're done with that, what you need in order to become clean again. If anything has blood on it, if anything with mold is found, here's all the steps that you need to do in order to take things, something that's unclean to make it clean. That's all in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus is a very bloody book. A lot of sacrifices going on in there. Okay. And then you have number four, the book of Numbers. You get stories of how God's people continually disobey and they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. You also see God's provision for his people as they wander. So that even in their wandering, God does not abandon them. That's where we learn that 40 years they wandered and their soles of their shoes did not wear out. Nor did their clothing become threadbare. They were provided with food every day of the week except for the first day of the week, which was Sunday, the Sabbath day, which was the seventh day of the week, excuse me, Saturday. They collected a double portion. They had manna. And then when they complained that they didn't have any meat, God brought quail. When they complained about this, God sent scorpions or serpents in there to sting, to bite them, and how the bronze serpents. All of this is in Numbers. And hopefully you'll start formulating connections of when Jesus in John chapter 3 says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, where do you find that? Numbers. You'll look upon him and you'll be saved. You'll be made whole. You may be healed. So the Son of Man must be lifted up. And what was the serpent lifted up on? A pole. What was Christ lifted up on? A pole, a cross. Okay? Do you have Numbers? Deuteronomy is the yes.
You know why was it called Numbers?
There's a lot of counting that goes on in the book of Numbers. You're going to get a lot of numbers. That's why. God also counts his people in there. There's this many thousand in the tribe of Judah and Levi and all these different things. So that's why. Deuteronomy, you have Moses' great discourse to prepare Israel to enter the promised land. So you have Leviticus, the first giving of the law, and then they wander for about 40 years, and then Moses gives another giving of the law. So he gives Deuteronomy. How important was Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy is the book that Jesus quotes when he's with Satan in the wilderness. Okay, he quotes Deuteronomy. A lot of things come out of Deuteronomy. The Hebrew Shema comes out of that. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Okay, that comes from Deuteronomy. When Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God, he's quoting from Deuteronomy. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. He's quoting Deuteronomy. You should not tempt the Lord your God. He's quoting Deuteronomy. So Deuteronomy is pretty important in the giving of the law. Okay. So everybody's got the first five filled out, right? Yeah. All right. Any questions about the Pentateuch? Okay, now you have the history books. Okay, so the first history book that you have in your Bible is the book of Joshua. Joshua starts out in the most encouraging way possible. Moses, my servant, is dead. That's how it starts. So you, Joshua, are now in charge. Be bold, be of great courage. Do not fear. Keep the law that Moses gave. Do not turn from the left or the right. So you have Joshua and the conquering or the redeeming of the promised land. After that, you have Judges. Okay, Judges is a book where we learn about Deborah. We learn about Samson. We learn about Barak. We learn about Gideon. We learn about Jephthah and all the judges that came following Joshua's death. Okay. Then you have Ruth. Ruth is where we find Boaz. Ruth and Boaz. Okay. Why was Boaz such a mean guy before he met his wife? It's because he was ruthless. Bad joke. Sorry. You have Boaz. Why is Boaz important? Not only does he symbolize what's called the kinsman redeemer, but Boaz is the father of a man named Jesse. Jesse is the father of a man named David. David just happens to be the great, 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 bunch of greats, grandfather of the man we know, Jesus. Okay, what's interesting about Ruth also is that Ruth is a Midianite woman. Okay, so Ruth is there, gives history. What's that? Ruth was a Midianite. Oh, she's a Moabite. Thank you. She was a Moabitess, not a Midianite. Thank you, Bob. See, my brain can glitch as well. She was a Moabite woman. Very important. Why? Because the Moabites were cursed by God because of the way they treated Israel. But yet God redeems this woman out of that curse. It's a picture of what God does for us. A Gentile cursed woman now redeemed and part of Jesus' bloodline, grafted in. So you have Ruth. Then you have 1 and 2 Samuel. So 1 Samuel, and then the fifth book is 2 Samuel. So you should be 4 and 5. Okay. Samuel tells of the life of Samuel, but then also of King Saul and the establishment of a king in Israel. And then 2 Samuel kind of focuses in on the establishment of David as the second king. Okay. So you have man's choice, Saul, as the king, and then you have David, God's choice as king, man after God's own heart. You have 1 and 2 Kings, and then you have 1 and 2 Chronicles. These are the books that tell of Israel and Judah's separation. Okay? So you have Israel, the 10 tribes to the north, and you have Judah in the southern kingdom and the splitting of that kingdom and how that takes place. Yes?
Okay.
Greg.
I mean, when these gentlemen wrote these books, did they come up with the idea? Were they told by God? How did, instead of 20 guys writing the same thing, mm-hmm. how were they chosen to write these different things I've thought about a lot?
How were they chosen?
Yeah.
Out of God's
grace.
God's, let's say, God's sovereignty. Thank you very much. God sovereignly just chose them. What's amazing about these men is that these men are not necessarily the most learned men. And so when you listen to John MacArthur's message, he goes into a lot of information about that specific question. How is it that these men wrote the scriptures? It's because they were inspired. And he goes into great detail about what inspiration means. It's not that these men were great religious leaders that were inspiring. It's that they were inspired by God to write this down. And they made no disclaimer about it as well. When they wrote down, and you'll see this when you read, if you read anything that Moses wrote or any of the prophets, they say what? Thus says who? The Lord. They made no, I think. No, he might. No, it was, they knew. Now, how that all worked specifically in that particular person's life, we don't know. But the Holy Spirit caused these men to understand that the words that were coming to them and through them were the words that God wanted them to say. And at the same time, God accounted for their personality and for their vocabulary so that what they wrote was in line with their personality and their vocabulary. So in other words, when Paul writes like who? Paul. And we can tell that it's Paul because Paul uses a certain way of writing. All of Paul's books or I shouldn't say all of them. The majority of Paul's letters are written in an outline form. They're easy to outline. You have the gospel at the beginning, and then how to apply the gospel to a particular situation. Okay, then you have Peter. Peter does not write like Paul. God used his personality and his vocabulary to write the Gospel of Mark and then 1st and 2nd Peter. And so that he doesn't just give, it's not like he just downloaded this information that this person would then write words that they didn't themselves didn't understand. It was in line with their personality. Now, what's amazing, like going from, that's like a New Testament version. In the Old Testament, these did the same thing. But some of the things that these prophets wrote, they were like, well, who's this guy? So you have like Isaiah writing Isaiah 53 about the suffering servant. And then you have in the New Testament, Peter says, these men, they were like, well, who is that? I got this information. I'm inspired by God. I wrote this stuff down, but I don't know who he's talking about. Because Christ hadn't been what? Manifest or revealed yet. But they know they're writing about the Messiah, and they it says they looked into these things. Now, what's really interesting is that the prophets themselves knew who the prophets were. And so Daniel, he studied Jeremiah. And when he was done studying Jeremiah, he realized that the time that the Lord had said they would be in captivity was coming to an end. Because he studied the book of Jeremiah. And he had that information. And so at the end of, he gets to that point. It says he goes in Daniel chapter 9, he begins to pray. And he starts praying. Why is he praying? Because he realizes it's coming to an end. And I need to pray for my countrymen. Daniel is an old man at that point in time. He'd been in captivity for some 70 years. And so he starts praying. And I love Daniel's prayer. And one of my prayers is that one day we have a politician that prays Daniel's prayer. You want to know what's in Daniel's prayer? Read it. Okay. So we got 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. And then you have Ezra. Ezra's a book of history talking about them coming out of captivity. Ezra is a man who goes back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Okay? Ezra had the good hand of the Lord going with him because he determined to know the book of the law and how to live by it. That was Ezra's goal. And so you have Ezra. Then you have the man Nehemiah. Nehemiah built the wall. And then you have the one book that never mentions God. Esther. Talks about prayer a lot, but never mentions God by name or in his person. But he's all over it. Okay. If you read Esther and you don't see God in it, read it again because you missed it. He's not mentioned, but he's there. Okay. Then you have the five poetry books, letter C. And this is where we're going to end. You guys will have to fill out the rest by yourself. You have Job. It's called the suffering and loyal trust of a man who loved God. Okay. Job. After that, you have Psalms. This is the hymn book of the Hebrews. Okay. I don't know any of the tunes because it was written before music was written, made up, the musical notation. But you have Psalms. You have Proverbs. After that, God's practical wisdom for daily life. Gain a lot of knowledge and wisdom from Samuel's writing in the book of Proverbs. Then you have the book of Ecclesiastes. And that is regarded as the emptiness of an earthly life without God. This was Solomon's way of showing, hey, I tried this and it was empty. And then I tried knowledge and it's empty. I tried pleasure and it's empty. I tried burying myself in work and it was empty. Everything's vanity is the word he used, or empty. And he comes to the end of it and he says, the chief goal of man is to love God and walk humbly with him. And in that you find what? Fulfillment. Okay. And then the last one is Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, depending on how your Bible has it named. Either one is appropriate and okay. This is the romantic or a celebration of marital joy. And there is, I'll just say it, it's about sex and marriage. And a relationship between a husband and a wife and the romance that can be between them. Okay. God created it. It's a good thing and it's blessed. So, and then I'll let you guys do the major prophets and the minor prophets and the rest on your own. We'll stop here. And then you have 10 minutes before church starts. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Very good. Let's pray. Oh, what? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Are you ready? Are you ready? Now, okay, so there's a version that's in here. It's different from the version that I memorized, but both are the same. All scripture is God-breathed, and it is profitable for the teaching and instruction and the reproof and righteousness and the training. Profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, and for the training of righteousness. Yeah. He uses the new the New American Standard, the updated version, okay, the NASB. I memorized it in the NIV, and some of my verses that I have memorized are in the New King James. And so, whenever I'm trying to search in my Bible software, I have to search in the right version to find the right verse. Okay. And he talks about that as well. And we'll talk about that next time. So how do we get all the different versions of the Bible and the scriptures that we have? Okay. Very good. All right. Thank you all very much. If you see somebody here who's not here that should have been here, tell them to come. All right. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the mercy and the grace that you've given us in your word, that we might know who you are and what is required of us for our salvation, and that is to believe in the one in whom you've sent, your beloved Son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so bless these, your people, Lord, as they endeavor to understand your word and know you more. Hear their prayers, hear their desires, and Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself more to them each and every day. For your glory and for our good, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Right.